Curiosity Capsule, an interview series exploring how scientific curiosity serves as an engine for developments in science and engineering, and showcasing how inquisitiveness preludes intelligence. We are honored to be joined today by Dr. Stephanie Willard, a Canadian tissue engineer and researcher. The focus of her research program is to investigate neural tissue engineering treatments for disorders of the central nervous system. Dr. Willard, thank you so much for joining us today for Curiosity Capsule. Dr. Willard, you are one of Canada's leading biomaterials researchers, having pioneered countless breakthroughs in the field of regenerative medicine. What are some of your roles and responsibilities as a professor and the acting director of biomedical engineering at the University of Victoria?
Well, first of all, thanks, Anna, for having me on. It's fun to do these, especially during some of the COVID times, to just get the word out about our research. As you mentioned, my day job is as a professor at the University of Victoria. I run an active research group that usually ranges between 15 to 20 students from all ages, from undergrads to postdocs. And we are getting a little bit back. Pre-COVID, we had a very international flavor with lots of MITAC students and visiting scholars. And we are getting a new postdoc from Brazil. They're fantastic, and we've been working a lot in the area of 3D bioprinting human tissue models of neurodegenerative diseases, and we're also starting to move into some of the 3D printing models for traumatic diseases like spinal cord injury and traumatic brain injury. And I'm really proud of the group over the past year. We've been really productive despite, you know, the COVID limitations, and we've had some really cool work coming out with some of our novel bioinks. And then in my other role, which I just came off of, is directing the undergraduate program here at the University of Victoria. It's quite exciting. I founded the program back in 2012, and then I recently finished a three-year term as director. We have around 180 students in the engineering program. And one of the things I'm really proud of is we have pretty much nearly equal gender balance, as well as a pretty diverse group in our biomedical engineers. And some of the things I did when I was directing the program included working on our curriculum development. And we implemented a really popular course that we offer in human factors in medical devices with Starfish Medical, who's one of Canada's largest medical device design companies. And some people may have heard of them because they did a lot of the ventilator manufacture for Canadian Supply. And we also introduced a really popular class in 3D bioprinting, which obviously goes along with my research interests. So those are some of the things I do at my day job. And obviously there's some other things like, you know, reviewing and serving on national committees as well, and giving lectures to universities, now virtually, but I used to travel around and give talks at a lot of different schools. So
can you tell us about your eureka moment, a moment during your research when you experienced maybe a sudden triumphant discovery or revelation?
It's now an old one, but it's a good one. So when I was in graduate school in 2006 at the International Society for Stem Cell Research meeting in Toronto, that was when Yamanaka actually presented at the conference the discovery of induced pluripotent stem cells. And I remember I was with my advisor, and we watched the talk, and I was like, you know, if he really did this, like, this is going to transform medicine. The fact that we can have all these personalized stem cells. And that's what I knew what I wanted to do, was to use the induced pluripotent stem cells to make human tissue models. Because previously, before then, obviously people worked with human embryonic stem cells, and they were quite controversial. From a selfish perspective, you know, there wasn't going to be a Stephanie Willard embryonic stem cell line, because there was one embryo and it became me. So that wasn't going to get us personalized medicine. But iPSCs, induced pluripotent stem cells, really have opened the door for personalized medicine. And a lot of that's now really coming to fruition with some of the clinical trials you see in the US, and with some of the 3D printing work that we've been doing as well.
That's amazing. Your interdisciplinary research combines stem cells, tissue engineering, drug delivery, cellular reprogramming, and 3D bioprinting. Can you tell us about the ultimate goal of your research?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the things we work with, and one of the reasons I work on in the central nervous system, one, it's a really interesting tissue because you have both the physical properties, you have a lot of diverse cell types, and you have both the chemical signaling, like dopamine secretion, as well as the electrical signaling of neurons. So there's a lot of stuff to recreate there. But obviously is the fact, you know, that we can communicate and move, when you have things like neurodegenerative disorders, like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, and things go wrong in the brain, it's really hard to treat. And so, some of the work I'm most excited about is our collaboration with Håkan Nygaard, where we've been, bioprinting his patients, stem cells and differentiating them into essentially miniature brains, and you can track some of their Alzheimer's symptoms. And now we're finally getting to the point where we've got the technology developed where we can use it as a tool for drug screening. And that collaboration is particularly interesting because he is a practicing doctor as well as having his PhD, so he could prescribe some of these potential treatments back to his patient. And that's what we really want to see is getting some of these treatments into patients, especially for things like Alzheimer's and spinal cord injury, where they're just the cures don't really exist, and it's mainly symptom treatment. So that's really our ultimate goal, is really personalizing medicine and getting better treatments for Canadians as well as other people around the world.
That's incredible how you're able to, you know, connect your research that you do in the laboratory to the clinical setting. So that's really impressive. In addition to your groundbreaking work as a bioengineer, I understand that you're also an entrepreneur. So can you elaborate on your experience co-founding Axolotl Biosciences, a company dedicated to making novel bioinks for printing stem cell-derived tissues?
Yeah, I was kind of a reluctant entrepreneur. Laura, who's one of my co-founders, she actually minored in entrepreneurship when she was an undergraduate before doing her PhD with me. So she was always very pushing us towards that end. And I will say, in the Canadian ecosystem, there are a lot of really great funding mechanisms to take your technology to be commercialized through the NSERC Idea to Innovation Program. Here in BC, we have the Michael Smith Fund, which also does innovation to commercialization, along with NRCI RAP. So it's been very supportive. So we had come up with a bioink that works really well for printing stem cells, which were notoriously difficult to print. Probably a lot of people watching this who are culturing stem cells know that they can be really finicky even when you're not bioprinting them. So Laura and Lila, who's our other co-founder, along with her sister Emily and some of the rest of my team members, we came up with a printable bioink that really supported stem cell survival, but also function. So the tissues you were printing were functioning, similar to that you would find in the brain and spinal cord. And there was a lot of interest from the academic community about this. And honestly, what happened is we were at a conference pre-COVID in 2019, and the president of Cell Inc. and I were talking about 3D printing. It's one of my favorite things. And he runs a 3D printing company. And he was like, well, why aren't we selling your ink? Like, clearly there's demand. Like, a lot of researchers have been asking about it. And then I was like, oh, well, yeah, like Cell Inc. has a ton of printers. So yeah, we should partner up and actually start selling our ink. And then we ended up incorporating the week of the pandemic, but it still has sort of worked out. You know, obviously things have all changed, but we've been really lucky. We've won some awards. We won the internal UVic competition. We were featured in Nature Magazine's Entrepreneurship Spinoff Prize. We were one to watch, Douglas Magazine. We recently placed in the top 25 of the New Ventures BC. So there's been a lot of interest, and we're currently seeking investment, but it's been nice to be able to share our technology with other researchers and honestly see other researchers bioprint tissues with our ink that we wouldn't do in the Willard Lab. So that's been, it's really cool. And it's just sort of a different experience.
That's amazing. If you had an unlimited amount of funding to spend on any scientific endeavor of your choosing, how would you spend that money?
Oh man. So I think I would sort of take two prongs. I was very fortunate. I did my training in the US, and my PhD was at WashU in St. Louis. And there, not only were the graduate positions funded, but you also had a year where you could rotate through different labs to figure out which would be the best fit. So it'd be really cool. And I think Peter Zanstra at UBC is implementing something similar, but more stable funding for our grad students, and honestly, even for lab managers to help keep the scientific enterprise consistent and reproducible. The other thing that I'm pretty big on, and you can see in some of my publications, is we do try to publish a lot of open access, because I do think that a lot of our money is from, you know, NSERC is the federal government, Michael Smith is provincial, Alzheimer's Association, while private. Like, I do think that the research should be free for anyone to read. And also, I think it contributes to the scientific literacy of the community, which I think that we've seen a lot with COVID of sort of some of that. So I think that really promoting more open access of science, as well as, you know, making it more accessible for trainees from diverse backgrounds to go into science. I think it's one of the things that, especially in engineering, even if you don't even look at grad school, it's like the number one indicator you'll be an engineer is that you have either a family member or friend who's an engineer. And I think, you know, we lose that on some of our talent by not having a more diverse pool, which is why I'm always really excited that in our BME program, at least we're getting close to having, you know, gender diversity that reflects society. So I think those are sort of my two big issues.
What is your vision for the future of biomaterials engineering in Canada and beyond?
Yeah, well, I think it's actually a really, really exciting time, both in biomaterials engineering and 3D printing is just taking off. And bioprinting, I think we're reaching an inflection point where stem cell biology was probably around 20 years ago, where it's going to become really widely adopted. And there's some really cool companies obviously I have Axolotl, which is my company, but Aspect Biosystems is doing some really interesting things with trying to clinically translate 3D bioprinting. Abcellera, Carl Hansen's company out of UBC, with their antibodies and COVID really showed what really strong biotech we have here. Also here in BC, we have two first-in-class stem cell clinical trials, a CAR T therapy being done actually, I think, in Victoria. For cancer, and Tim Kiefer's work treating diabetes. So I think right now it's a really exciting time to be in Canada, just because we do have a lot of this momentum and the Canadian government's investing a lot in the biomanufacturing sector. So I'm feeling pretty positive about that. I think that the future is really bright, especially as, we're investing more and seeing, that we do need to manufacture at home and hopefully keeping a lot of these Canadian technologies here in Canada. As well. And so that's where I'm really excited for him. And I'm also pretty excited to see, where things go with Axolotl as well as in my home lab, because some of the more, I wouldn't say experimental projects, but, with the company, it's very interesting. That's very commercial focused. And then I'm like, well, the project I'm most excited about is with the patients with the Alzheimer's stuff, even though it won't necessarily lead to tons of money, but actually, treating a patient's disease is what I think is the most exciting part, is actually getting your stuff and making something that's useful to treat some of these diseases and disorders where there just isn't currently existing cures.
Awesome. Once again, we are incredibly grateful to you, Dr. Willerth, for taking the time to share your wisdom with us today. I'm certain that your inspiring career in biomedical engineering has sparked curiosity in all of our viewers, myself included. Thank you all for tuning into today's Curiosity Capsule with Dr. Stephanie Willerth. Thanks, everyone.